SBS Radio.
Wadamuli, I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and this is NITV Radio. Coming up for you now in this podcast, a yarn with Judith Ryan AM, who is also the Senior Curator of Indigenous Art at the National Gallery of Victoria. And in July this year, the largest exhibition of Tiwi art and craft was supposed to be on display at the NGV. Although, due to COVID-19, plans had changed, and now the largest exhibition of its kind on Tiwi art and crafts will be open at the NGV from the 23rd of November, when the gallery shall once again be open to the general public. A short time ago, I caught up with Judith Ryan AM, the Senior Curator of Indigenous Art at the NGV, and Judith could not contain her excitement at the exhibition ahead, which has been years in the planning.
Look, I tell you what, we're so excited. We can't believe it's even happening because we've been working from home since March. And the very big Tiwi exhibition that I've been working on for a number of years has been delayed from the 13th of September, and we're finally going to be able to open to the public on the 23rd of November. But for some time, it was looking rather dicey. And of course, it's quite hard because the situation is similar in other states. So we're just sort of hoping that the borders will be open and eventually Tiwi artists will be able to see the show.
You mentioned in our conversation that you've been working on this exhibition for a number of years. Take us back to a couple of years ago when you first started and why you wanted to bring this exhibition to the NGV for Tiwi.
Right. I had put forward this idea a number of times, and over 2 years ago I just put an exhibition proposal together and suggested that this would be a great exhibition to do because we hadn't actually ever exhibited or published our quite extensive Tiwi collection. And the other thing about it, Kerry Lee, is that I remember going to the opening of the NGV International Building in 1968, and the only Indigenous works in that building were Tiwi Pukamani Tutini. It had been borrowed from a private collection and we eventually acquired them, but these Pukamani Tutini, big ironwood carvings painted with natural ochres, are phenomenal sculptural objects, and I've always loved them. And when I started at the gallery in 1977 and I found them, they were in storage. We didn't have a collection display area and we didn't have an Indigenous art department, but I was so excited to see them there because it's these sculptures that inspired the early Murrumtawi non-Tiwi visitors to Melville and Bathurst Island, people like Baldwin Spencer, Charles Mountford, but all artists such as Margaret Preston, Tony Tuckson, Russell Drysdale, because they are the spectacular forms that are left to the elements in memory of the deceased, and they are quite amazing. The other thing that's very interesting too, Kerry Lee, is that Tiwi art and culture is unique to Melville and Bathurst Islands because the Tiwi people have been separated from mainland Indigenous people and from others, Murrumtawi, for so many millennia. And it was only in the early years of the 20th century that others started to see the work that is unique to the Tiwi people.
This unique and extraordinary exhibition which the NGV will put on is in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the Tiwi Design Arts Centre as well, which does extraordinary work in the region.
Yes, it's phenomenal that this was the first printmaking studio in Indigenous Australia, and they also established the first pottery in 1972 at Warramyanga. It was then called Nuyu. Because Nuyu, of course, goes back to 1911 when a Catholic mission was established. That was sort of the outside world came to know of Tiwi art and culture language then. But we also have a phenomenal history of other art centres, but they didn't open till a lot later, the very late 1980s. So we had Tjulamara Arts and Crafts Association and Manupi Arts and Crafts Association. They opened then, and there's been sort of this amazing sort of development of contemporary art practice across both Tiwi Islands, because there's a great deal of interest in translating the ritual designs used in ceremony, the body paintings, the sculptures, the carvings, and the designs upon them, in new media, such as printmaking, ceramics, batik, paintings on paper, paintings on canvas. Bark paintings were an innovation because originally they were just painted on bark baskets or tunga, folded sheets of bark, which of course were collected from as early as 1911. And we have tunga and Pukamani poles collected by Baldwin Spencer on loan to this exhibition. The other exciting thing about Tiwi art, in my view, is that innovation is greatly admired and encouraged. That is both in ceremonial contexts and also in contemporary contexts. So artists are encouraged, and it's a demand really to create their own designs, their own style, their own way of working in whatever medium they've chosen. And this sort of means that the artists are very interested in exploring new materials as well as staying true to Tiwi ochres dug from country, which Tiwi people believe connects them to their ancestors and to country. They still paint with the yellow and the white pigment they dig from country, and they still make red by burning or heating the yellow ochre. And the colours themselves are very distinct. It's a sort of beautiful cadmium yellow, orangey yellow, and a very, very bright Indian red or burnt sienna that they make from heating the ochre.
And over the years, there have been many extraordinary artists to come out of the Tiwi Islands as well, Judith.
It's incredible. And the interesting thing is that although early collectors were aware that women were painting and also carving Pukamani poles and were attending Pukamani and Kalama ceremonies, they still didn't commission the women to make any works for their early collections in 1912 and 1954. Rather, they collected just works by men. But with the opening up of Tiwi design, Manupi, Tjulamara and Ngarra Wanatiri, women have been great artists at these art centres, particularly the carver, Kitty Cantilla, Nancy Henry, Jean Baptiste. Not only were they great carvers, but they've also been phenomenal painters with their own very, very distinct styles. And then there's been Cornelia Tipu Amanta Miri from Manupi. She works only with a Tiwi comb, which is made from ironwood and then rolled across the surface of the canvas to create these amazing tiny dots in lines, and they're all over the canvas at particular angles, and she creates the most phenomenal conceptual and quite gestural canvases. And she's really the matriarch of Manupi. She began painting when she was almost in her 80s. Her works are really incredible, as is a newly emerging artist who has come to the fore at Tjulamara, Michelle Freddie Minipini, who also works with the Tiwi comb, and she's also a trainee curator who works at the museum at Tjulamara. It's interesting that This exhibition originally had a working title of Crooked Painting, because I was very inspired by what Jean Baptiste said. She said that art was not straight but crooked, meaning that she painted with a raw freedom of gesture, which is incredible. Whereas someone like Kitty Cantilla was called Dot Dot by other Tiwi because she liked to use tiny polychrome dots made with the chewed stem of a coconut frond. We've also got phenomenal male carvers and painters, of course, over time. There's people like Declan Apuotimi, Manaluki, Cardo Kiranau, who sort of is believed to be the first Tiwi artist to carve figurative sculptures that relate to the foundation story of Parukapali, which explains how death came to the Tiwi. I've also got Tommy Mangatopi, a phenomenal painter. And the list goes on, because the great thing is that we're able to show that Tiwi art occupies a continuum, past, present and future, because by looking at the trajectories of art across time from 1911 to now, we're able to see that artists still reference tradition but are constantly creating new ways forward and expressing their own individuality in art.
It must be also wonderful to see the next generation of Tiwi artists coming through.
Yes, it's phenomenal how when you visit the art centres and you look at the works that are available, another artist springs up. And just last year, that artist sprang up at Chilamara Arts and Crafts Association, and that was an artist, Jonathan World Peace Bush. He's been given the names World Peace by other Tiwi because he is so interested and concerned about world peace and about what's going on in the world, and he's also interested in contact history of the Tiwi Islands and issues facing Indigenous people today. And he paints in a figurative way. He's also a poet who has developed a very interesting style, a layered style. He waters down the pigment so that he can create different depths and densities of the iconography. Not only does he use figuration, but he also paints the sort of the designs that relate to the body paintings for Pukamani or Kalama, and they often are seen covering the figures or in different elements of the composition. He did a painting of Sister Anne Gardner. Sister Anne Gardner was the senior citizen of the Senior Australian of the Year some years ago, and she has been living and working on Bathurst Island for over four decades. She has an AM, and she's actually portrayed as if she's the Virgin Mary, like a votive sculpture in the pose of the crucifixion, because she fought tooth and nail to get a Tiwi museum established at Wurrumyunga. And she's been very concerned to ensure that Tiwi culture is maintained, as well as she's sort of helped to deliver a lot of Tiwi children and taught in the school as well. So it's sort of a work that sort of pinpoints the sort of the difficulties of the impact of the Christian mission, but also looks at the fact that a lot of Tiwi people have a two-way approach to religion. A lot of them are also Christian and Tiwi.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.